Innovation Minds presents At the Edge, a podcast about using innovation to empower and drive engagement. The nature of work has changed. Companies around the world are struggling to find the right balance in the new work-from-home hybrid paradigm. As much of the workforce begins to go back to the office after more than a year working remotely, how can leaders keep their employees engaged and collaborating successfully? In this podcast, we interview thought leaders from business and hear their stories and viewpoints on how to use innovation to engage the workforce, as well as how to innovate engagement.
I see HR as a service, enabling people to do the work that they came to the organization to do. And I believe that we need to understand employees as we would try to understand customers. What exactly do they need? How do we make their lives easier so they can engage? And I think that there's a lot of organizations nowadays that are thinking like that. And that's why the employee experience is coming through a customer service and a customer experience understanding.
Beatrice Cunningham is the Chief People Officer at the Pan American Development Foundation. She has a doctorate degree in human resource development from the George Washington University and has worked in the nonprofit sector in healthcare and international development.
So, Beatrice, welcome to At the Edge, and thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you. I'm excited for the opportunity to talk with you and looking forward to our conversation.
You've got a really interesting history spanning really different industries. Could you talk just a little bit about the different experiences you've had as an HR leader in these different industries?
Well, I started in education, both in private sector as an entrepreneur and also in public education as a teacher and teacher trainer. Then gradually I transitioned to nonprofit, and I worked for nonprofit organizations that covered a very large range of topics. So I've seen a lot of different organizational cultures and subcultures at play in all of these different experiences that I had. They were also in many different countries.
What would you say the challenges or the purposes of working in HR are different? How are they different in this kind of space than they would be in a corporate?
So I think it's very different in many ways working in the not-for-profit space. First of all, there is usually a limitation of resources that I have not found in other environments. And at the same time, a very intense drive towards action. People in the not-for-profit space are extremely passionate about their work, and they are so committed to doing what they think is important to do that they find it particularly difficult or challenging to have to comply with processes and whatever, you know, will come up or will come between what they want to do for you know, their purposes or the purpose of their work in their day-to-day. You know, they really don't want to be distracted from it. And there are HR processes that are interpreted as distractions. Whatever kind of process that I'm working with, I want to make sure that it is not burdensome. It's not seen as a burden.
Well, what are some of the processes you're talking about and how do you avoid them?
Performance management is an example. In the way performance management is designed, it can be quite complex. It can be quite time consuming. One of the things that I've developed as part of my toolkit for HR and even my philosophy in working is to simplify, is really to simplify processes as much as possible and bring them down to the essentials and to their most essential purposes, really kind of radical simplification.
We talk a lot on this show about engagement and experience of the employees. How does engagement work in the nonprofit space as it would compare to in a corporate or, you know, big company?
I think that engagement at the individual level actually works the same. People are more engaged when they are doing what they're good at. This is based on research by Gallup. People want to be doing what they're good at, and they want to feel that whatever strengths they bring, experience, knowledge, skills, they want to have opportunities to apply those. They want to feel good about what they're doing. They want to see progress. And that makes a big difference, that they're making progress towards the work that they think is really important. Sitting in meetings, right, that they don't feel are really moving them towards their goals and towards their responsibilities and what they think is important, can be a major source of annoyance. When there are aspects of the work experience that are on a day-to-day basis, making it difficult for people to do the work that they think is important, that can be something that is discouraging, to the point that people may disregard things that the organization is trying to do that are more sophisticated, such as, for example, rolling out new programs, new training, or different rewards.
In a way, you're saying two opposite things. On the one hand, that, you know, people in the nonprofit space want less disruption. They don't want to be bothered by HR and the different things that you might deal with. At the same time, you're saying it's more or less the same in terms of engaging them.
In the nonprofit sector, or sometimes people describe these kinds of organizations as mission-driven organizations, there is a sense of urgency for doing the things that are going to improve the quality of life of whoever are the beneficiaries of that work. It's a question of intensity, not so much a difference. It's similar motivations, but it becomes much more intense and it's experienced as more urgent.
When people are aligned with the values and mission of an organization, they're a lot more engaged, they're a lot more excited to be at work. And I imagine, again, that in your space, more of the people are just naturally aligned with the mission.
Definitely. The values and the mission are a much more important driver of engagement, I think, in the not-for-profit sector. This is beginning to change, but compensation in the not-for-profit sector still trends behind the private sector. And when people come to the not-for-profit sector, they still make that choice. And it's usually because they don't want to compromise on the kind of work that they do. I speak for myself. When I make career choices, what the organization does is super important to me.
So it sounds like, as an HR professional, you're actually kind of ahead of the curve in the sense that you're already thinking about serving your employees and supporting your employees in ways that corporates, they're only kind of figuring out now.
I see HR as a service to employees. And I see the role of HR as the role of enabling people to do the work that they came to the organization to do. And I also have like a customer service orientation. And I believe that we need to understand employees as we would try to understand customers. What exactly do they need? How do we make their lives easier so they can engage? And I think that there's a lot of organizations nowadays that are thinking like that. And that's why the employee experience, this term, is coming through a customer service and a customer experience understanding. And even the idea that you want to design that experience. Even better, you want to co-design that experience. So you really have to learn what the needs are through various other interactions.
How do you create, you know, a productive and valuable employee experience?
Observation, questions, by trying to become invisible. People should not have to go out of their way to get whatever they need. If there is a program that somebody wants to participate, I went through some customer service training through Gartner a few years ago, where they shared some research where they found that customers became much more loyal when things were convenient for them. Convenience even trumped other things such as quality, and even that wow factor, the delight factor, could be sacrificed for convenience. And in so many ways, employees are customers for human resources services, right? So how do we make things convenient for them? And that means easy to find, easy to understand, easy to consume.
Let's talk about hybrid work and remote work and how your organization has been impacted by that situation.
So remote work was not completely new to us because we have worked for over 60 years now in multiple countries. But what was new was the fact that we couldn't do it in any other way. We couldn't travel. We couldn't have in-person interactions, right? So that was completely new. And we needed new technology too. We needed new technology because what we had was not completely appropriate. The adaptation was pretty quick. A lot of our employees were very comfortable with technology. So adoption of the new technologies happened relatively quickly. What I think was difficult was the isolation. This time, when we are kind of gradually and tentatively coming back to some level of in-person interaction, the experience continues to evolve. At the end of August, we reopened our offices in Washington, D.C. This has been different from people can come in once a week, twice or three times or every day, but they have the option to also continue to work from home. And it's interesting. We're trusting people to continue to do their work, which they have very well. This has been a highly productive year for the organization, one of the most productive years in history. We know for a fact that at least for a year or two, we are able to function almost completely virtually. But it's not the preferred way of working for everybody. There are employees who really are missing the in-person experience. So we're trying to offer those experiences as well. And then we do have employees who would enjoy working from home more, but do not have the conditions at home. The experience is evolving. We know that we can function virtually, and that's encouraging.
So you mentioned technology. Let's imagine a virtual office where people never come into the physical office, and they're able to work either with other people who are remote or with people in the office. What would you want that virtual office to contain? Like what should be in that? How would it work?
I think that it would be very important to have structured and unstructured time. So one of the things we did initially that I think may have taken us too far into the structured was to turn every meeting into a Zoom meeting and require that everybody turns on their camera. That, after a while, is exhausting. So flexibility for people to be more comfortable in whatever environment they are, I think is important. I think that there needs to be some form of arrangement to give people time in which they're not in structured meetings, where they can get into their work and have that sense that they made progress and that they are not being interrupted by multiple group interactions. Some form of technology that allows you to communicate very freely, to be resolving things via text or doing a quick group text or staying in touch with their closer colleagues throughout the day. And I would also like to have time where people are not necessarily working through tasks in work-related responsibilities. We have started to do a number of different parties via a digital platform. We've now had our second costume party with people participating from all across the different countries where we work. Our year-end party is going to be fully digital. Having those kinds of moments where people can connect and are not necessarily, you know, focused on accomplishing an immediate task.
What about things like rewards and recognition, managing people online, coaching people in your report lines and stuff like that? How do you manage that, and how would that fit into a virtual office like this?
For those who had to transition from managing a team that they could see every day or every other day at least, to managing a team with whom they are interacting with completely virtually, there are skills that you need to deploy more frequently. Having support for those managers making that transition is important. Clarity, the ability to really delegate with clarity and really describe expectations, responsibilities, clarifying roles for different people in the same team, they become even more important in the virtual environment. Being able to make sure they understand what they need to do, how to focus their time, it should not be taken for granted, because it doesn't come naturally to everyone. It's so easy for managers to assume that people already know because they read the job description. And it's very common for people to actually interpret their job description in a very different way. So having conversations and supporting managers in this transition so they build on those skills.
You've also got a lot of experience in the healthcare space. And I notice that you left the healthcare space literally at the exact same time as the COVID lockdown hit the world.
No, that was just how things happened. So I became the new chief people officer without having met people in person. And I know a lot of people had this experience where they transitioned jobs during the pandemic. Very challenging, because I feel like with any role, but human resources in particular, establishing relationships is a foundation to being able to understand how to add value. And I had to do that via Zoom. In Zoom is so limited. It's so limited. It's when you get out of Zoom and you actually meet people in person that you realize how much it was cutting off of the experience with that person. Just recently, I had the opportunity to finally come to visit our teams in Colombia and in Brazil. And just being there was such a relief and such an enriching opportunity. So, it was, you know, just seeing people and being with them in the same place.
We don't know where things are going in the future, but it does seem like hybrid work, remote work is very much here to stay. And there's very much uncertainty about things changing much, especially with an organization like yours, where you're working with people around the world. What do you see as the way forward to make sure you can actually have these touch points you're talking about, being able to connect to people, and at the same time, making sure you get the job done, making sure people can actually keep working?
We are anticipating that hybrid will continue and will solidify. Some of the things we began to do, we want to maintain. One thing that was amazing about the experience of being fully virtual is that even though it's a very limited experience, everybody is in the same situation. I don't know if you've been in a meeting where some people are in person and they're sitting around a table and then some people are on the phone. Even if you have them on video, the folks that are joining virtually have a very different experience from that meeting compared to the ones that were sitting together in the same space. And it's very hard for them to participate. So what happened to our meetings is this separation between those in the room and those in the digital space disappeared because everybody was digital. That allowed us to have also a whole lot more people join. It is so much more difficult to have, for example, people join from various different countries when there is a group in the office at headquarters. So we learned that we want to continue to take advantage of some of these new ways of doing things that actually worked so well. Continue to have meetings every week or every 2 weeks with all our directors from all the different countries where we operate. We want to continue to have some of the digital fun events that we developed, which again allow people to join from everywhere. We want to continue to offer choice and offer different designs, let's say, from which people can pick their experience. Do they want to be fully remote? Do they want to have a hybrid experience? Do they want to be in the office some days a week? How many days? And we want to continue to offer those choices. However, we are also in this situation balancing the needs of the organization and the employee. Not all roles can be fully remote because for some, there are in-person meetings with clients, for example, that are based in Washington, D.C. So we have to balance various needs, but the idea is to give as much choice and flexibility.
If you wanted to share with the audience the core wisdom you've acquired over years of working in this mission-driven space, what would you share with people?
A couple of things. I'd say that I have, over the years, given more and more value. One is to really listen to the organization. Instead of coming as the HR expert who knows how things should be done, yes, there are parts of HR that are based on what legal requirements. There are labor laws and we need and will follow those. But there's also a lot that is believed to be the right thing to do. And I think that that's when sometimes we make mistakes in organizations by trying to bring in solutions without a real deep understanding of what the organization really needs. I don't like to bake solutions before I talk with multiple people to understand exactly, you know, what is the problem that we're trying to solve. And the other thing is, I really think our profession will benefit from looking more into evidence in research on what works and what doesn't. I think we have some practices, and I'd say performance management is one of them, that over the years, over and over again, do not deliver what they are supposed to deliver. And we should be able to go to research and find different alternatives. I think that best practices, in whatever we learn from experience, I think it's very important to enrich that with also what science is out there in psychology, in sociology, so that we can have a solid foundation for how we design our programs.
Thank you, Beatrice. Really appreciate the time you've spent and the wisdom you've shared.
Thank you. Pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much.
This has been At the Edge, a podcast from Innovation Minds. We look forward to hosting you on our next episode, which you can find through the same channel you got here with today. Please join our LinkedIn group where you can discuss every episode. You can find the link in the show notes. We're really glad you were here, and thank you very much from Innovation Minds.